We are on page Kuf Tzadi Tes, right in the middle. We're on the third aspect. Let me just pick up my thing. Okay, we're now going to...
Tell us al guf bilvad.
And when you fulfill a mitzvah, that's placed on the body alone. Kigon mitzvah sukkah lulav o achas mishar mitzvah. Shiskarnu le'ela nichlolos b'chilek hazeh shel ha-mitzvahs. Like the mitzvah sukkah lulav, or any other one of these mitzvahs, tzedakah, keeping Shabbos, whatever, any of these mitzvahs. So there, when you're doing the action per se, you're doing the action. So where's the thinking involved? Hinei chayiv lahaktim es kavonas libcha lelokim lifnei asiyoso. You're obliged to precede the direction of your heart to Hashem before you do it. Kedei shahashoresh. So that the root from which your action will flow from will be the following. Litzayes lemitzvas habore. To listen to the commandments of Hashem. Legadlo ularomamo. To elevate, make Hashem big, to elevate him. Ulahodos ulashabechlo. To praise him and thank him. Alatovas hagadolos. For all the great things, and the great kindness he does with you. That's what you have in mind. My kavana is to do what Hashem told me to do, to glorify him and to show my hakaras hatov to him. And to be able to achieve, al yedekach, to achieve thereby, shamitzvah tayasa bechol tzedah. So the mitzvah will be done on all sides. Meaning to say, in the beginning of doing it, the emtza at the middle, ubesov at the end, from what? Mitoch yira me'akel, from an awe from Hashem, umitoch tshuka, and from a yearning, lios l'ratzon l'fanav, that it should be favorable before Hashem, ulisrachik mikason, to be far away from his anger, k'mo shemadar v'malcha shomas, King David said, Lasos ritzon chalokai chafotzti. My desire is to do the will of my God. So you're having in mind to do the will of Hashem because he told you to do it. You want him to love you. You're in respect of him. And that is why I'm going to do this from beginning, middle, and end. Okay? So that's the kavana. So it's not a huge kavana. And that's that l'shem yichud in the Hasidic forum that you have before all mitzvahs. To unify the heavens and earth. That's why you're doing it with love and fear. That's that Yehi Ratzon you say before any of these mitzvahs. That's supposed to stop and think about that. And during the course of doing every mitzvah, should be before your eyes the example that I gave you in the beginning of this way of cheshbon nefesh, which is ketzad hayisa misnag ilo hayamelech matil alecha lemale lo tafkid misuyim. How would you behave if the king placed upon you a specific task to do? And that's what you have in mind while you're doing the mitzvah. You know, how would the king want me to do that? Vas tira besos Hashem. Then you'll see with Hashem's help. Shevarecha yasu es avodas Hashem becharitzus uzrizus. You'll find that your body parts are doing the service of Hashem with diligence and with alacrity. Next page. Kamosha Amar David HaMelech HaLasham, as King David said, Shehikdamti es dvarav le'el b'psichas Hashem, which I use as an introduction to the beginning of this gate, as he said, Chishafti derachai, I thought about my ways, v'ashiva ragle l'esech, and I returned my feet to your statues, Chashti, I did quickly. Velohis mamate, did not delay. Lishmor mitzvosecha, to fulfill your mitzvahs. So that's, we would try our hardest to do it. Okay? So the issue is, so why are we finding so hard to do mitzvahs with this kind of alacrity? Like, what seems to be the problem? So we could say, you know, we could say like this. The problem with doing mitzvahs that are depending on body parts is that it's a physical action. And the physical action, let's say you put on tefillin today. Okay? You put on tefillin already thousands of times. and there really isn't any chiddush into the tefillin you're putting on. It can tend to be a dull, boring, unfulfilling, mundane activity, right? So, for example, you know, when we talk about the business world, you know, they say to succeed in society, to be a big success, people say, you got to have a white-collar job, be a professional, or own your own business, right? That's why to be a success. Now, what do all those three positions have in common? The answer is that you succeed in them by using your mind, which is the most sublime aspect of the human being. You know, you don't put together $3 million deals by just pushing on a drill press for 8 hours a day. You gotta use your mind. You gotta use your brains. You gotta this. It's exciting, right? So it's gratifying to be involved at something that requires your mind, and the activities of the mind are not so physically taxing either, or even if they are, but not as much. I think that blue collar work, let's say, on the other hand, appears, at least from the surface, to be degrading. You know, it's barely a step above animal work, right? You know, as I recall, many, many moons ago, more than 40 years ago, when I worked in a factory. Did I ever tell you about that?
Yeah.
I worked in Spiro Electric right after high school for 6-8 weeks. It was momish, real blue-collar work. It's just, you know, you just worked at a drill press and a whole day just drilling 5 holes into a piece of metal. You know, and if I was lucky to, for excitement, I got to, like, use a machine that would clean the floor during the day, right? So, you know, I hated it. It was such a negative experience just doing robotic work, which really just motivated me to put my mind to my studies in yeshiva so that I would use my brain and get paid for a job that I'm thinking. So we could, lahavdol, separate mitzvahs, quote unquote, into white collar and blue collar mitzvahs. Okay? The white collar mitzvahs are the first two categories we discussed. Either they're totally involved with your mind or mind and action. All right? Those are the white collar mitzvahs in Judaism. And even with that, we have issues, unfortunately. You know, even though davening is not a blue collar job, but at least there's potential for something amazing. While today's category is really a blue-collar type of mitzvah. And now again, let's look in the religious circles now. Even in the real frum circles. Who has more status nowadays in the religious circles? Who are we mechabed more? We're mechabed more the Talmud Chacham. He studies Torah. He davens all day. The holy tzaddik. He meditates about Hashem day or night. Even a guy goes to a daf yomi regularly. He's learning. He's into that. Or do we machabed a person who just does mitzvahs? You know, the guy mamish, he does his mitzvahs beautifully. He puts on tefillin carefully. He gives everything. Who's going to be the more desirable shidduch in the shidduch market? Right?
Right?
So, you know, you often hear people say, well, anybody can do mitzvahs, but is he a tzaddik? Is he a Talmud Chacham? Can he study in kollel all day? Right? Unfortunately, these questions seem to imply that doing mitzvahs is a very paltry thing. So the question is, how do we raise the public's esteem of the blue-collar mitzvahs? So, on the one hand, technically, these mitzvahs can be fulfilled to perfection without really investing deep thought in the course of doing them. But the Chovas Havavas teaches us that our minds can help us elevate ourselves in this area. How? And that's what he's saying. Before you're about to engage in this purely physical mitzvah, you have to focus on the following concepts in order to create that foundation. A, are you obediently following the will of Hashem? Your actions are elevating Hashem and making him great. Your actions are reflecting gratitude and praise to Hashem for everything he did to you. You're doing this out of a sense of awe for Hashem. You're doing this out of your greatest desires through the will of Hashem. If you have all those thoughts in mind, you've just shown yourself that a mitzvah is not a mere blue-collar assembly line task that you find people doing every day. A mitzvah is really important stuff, and it's no less important than the other two categories, because you'll start the activity with a sense of purpose and mission that will allow you to continue and complete the mitzvah in the best way possible. You know, your brain's not going to turn off while you're in the middle of the activity, Because when you're fulfilling the mitzvah with that prescription, you're following the example of that servant who keeps his duty ever present in mind before the king. He always feels good about himself. He's doing the will of Hashem. So it's interesting. Lutzaro in Derech Hashem, I'm just going to give you a quote, says a very similar concept. He says that love of Hashem and awe of Hashem are powerful means that draw an individual close to Hashem. It enlightens the darkness of man, causes his soul to radiate in brightness, and elevates him step by step until he attains a state of closeness to Hashem. So that's what Ramchal is showing, that although love of Hashem and awe of Hashem are one, two out of the 613 mitzvahs, nevertheless, they are two autonomous mitzvahs that require the action of achieving closeness to Hashem, and the mitzvahs of themselves are dveikus. There's one aspect of you just thinking about how much you love Hashem and thinking about how much you fear Hashem, but they're also included in all the other mitzvahs. That means every mitzvah that you should do should be done out of a sense of love and awe of Hashem. Every mitzvah should be accompanied by a feeling that you're doing the mitzvah because you love an Hashem and you are in awe of Hashem. So it really comes out, here's the chiddush now. Every mitzvah you do properly, before you do a mitzvah, you're thinking, oh, how much I love Hashem that I'm doing this mitzvah. Oh, how much I revere Hashem that I'm doing this mitzvah. You're getting, as they say, the 3-for-1 deal. Okay? You're getting 3 mitzvahs done at the same time. The actual physical mitzvah and the mitzvah of loving and fearing Hashem. So now it's a 3-for-1 deal every time you're doing it. So that's a big upgrade to the mitzvahs that you're doing. We was just learning this morning in the Tanya class that I think it's the Arizal who said this, that every mitzvah that you do without love and fear, it does not ascend to the higher realms in the way that it could ascend. Or as they say, the famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, and was once going with the Hasidim, and they wanted to daven somewhere, and there was an empty shul, and they figured, oh, it's a great place. It's a Beis HaKnesses. They can daven the Beis HaKnesses. He walks into the Beis HaKnesses. The Baal Shem says, can't daven here. And they said, why? He says, it's too crowded. I said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? There's nobody in there. He says, you don't understand. This is a shul that I can't get in. He says, what do you mean you can't get in? It's full of tefillos. It's full of davening. What do you mean it's full of davening? He says, you know, normally when you daven and you daven with kavana, the prayers go right up to Shemayim. This is a shul where those players, they're all from the last who knows how many years, they're all sitting in the shul. They've never gone up to Shemayim yet. So it's too crowded. They haven't been elevated. The people just did the physical activities and the tefillos are still sitting there in the shul and haven't gone up to the Shemayim. So that's an incredible point. Now, if you really think about this a little bit more, let me just get a sheet over here. If you really think about this, like why we're doing mitzvahs, you have to realize when we're doing mitzvahs, before you're doing the mitzvah, you're saying, this is what Hashem wants me to do. You know, there's all this cheshbon of tamei ha-mitzvahs, the reasons for mitzvahs and all that. The bottom line is, you're doing it, it is because of the will of Hashem. And because that's the will of Hashem, you know, there's a big chakira in the achronim about mitzvahs. The chakira, when we do mitzvahs, is it the category of a doctor who's giving a patient advice, or is it in the category of a king who is giving commandments? And there's a big nafkamina in the two. If it's a doctor giving you advice, so sometimes different patients will need different advice. So maybe a certain mitzvah theoretically wouldn't apply if you don't have that need for that. On the other hand, if it's a commandment from the king, it doesn't matter, inishtahi nishtaher, you have to do it. It doesn't matter. There's no exceptions to the rule, as it were. So there's a big chakira. The truth is they're both true, but what's the more primary one? So one of the achronim gives an incredible proof. He says, the proof is, it has to be a king who's given us commandments. Why? Because otherwise it would be impossible to do tshuva. What do I mean to say? If let's say you did an avera, if it's advice of a king, it's like of a doctor, Okay, the doctor tells you not to smoke, right? Now, you're doing it, why? Because that's good advice. Now, what happens if you smoke? God forbid, a person can get cancer, and he gave himself the cancer. The cancer is a natural outgrowth of what he did. On the other hand, if you eat healthy foods, you're a healthy person. It's a natural outgrowth of that, right? If you smoked and didn't listen to the doctor tells you, Lolen, you have cancer. You say, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. The doctor says, I'm fine, but I'm sorry the cancer's there and there's nothing I can do about it. I could try to operate this. I can't magically take away the cancer.
Right.
If, on the other hand, so if you do an Avera, and if that's the perspective of an Avera, then you're finished. If that's the primary aspect, you've destroyed yourself. There's nothing more to talk about. If, on the other hand, it's a commandment from a king, the punishment is external to the person. It's an external punishment. And that's something the king can decide one way or another if he wants to change it. It doesn't have to be. So one of the Achronim says, so therefore, the fact that we know that tshuva helps and it's desired from Hashem means that it's really not primarily instructions of a doctor, but it's a decree of the king. And since it's a decree of the king, tshuva is able to knock it off. Now, we could say, you know, without the tshuva, then God, you know, it's like it's an unhealthy thing, but it doesn't yet... It's like the cancer doesn't come until the king allows the cancer to come. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, Hashem will decide, let's say, coming to Rosh Hashanah. So let's say we've all done some averas. On the one hand, those averas inherently are going to destroy us. And they're going to bring bad and sickness and all kinds of terrible things, just like the medicine does. But, you know, just like in the field of cancer, Lo Aleinu, you know, you have like, where they can already check you with your chves, your DNA, whatever, that a person's like is more likely to get cancer. You know what I mean? He doesn't have it, but it could come. You know, and then you got to be lucky. You know, you could be, you know, family has a history, and you've got certain cells that could become cancerous. And if you're lucky, it doesn't. And if you're not lucky, it does. So the same thing, you're averos. It's like there are some dormant cancer cells sitting there. So what happens? On Rosh Hashanah, you go to Hashem, and we go to Hashem as the king, and say, listen, we're really sorry. Please, you're the king. Please knock away the divine decree. So he knocks away the divine decree, and then he says, okay, and the cancer cells are not going to come. Finished. But if it was solely the doctor's advice, once you're not there, you're getting cancer. There's something to talk about. Hashem can't forgive it. But the fact that it's a mitzvah, so that's the point. That when we are doing mitzvahs, we have to always think about that fact that I am doing a mitzvah of Hashem. And the fact that I'm doing a mitzvah of Hashem, that itself elevates that activity and gives it wings to take you right up to Shemayim. And if you're just going to do these mitzvahs without any thinking, and this is for all three of these things we've talked about. But especially with mitzvahs, what happens is you get a reward. And what's the reward? You get to sit in Olam Haba in the bleachers. And you don't connect to that great feeling that's in there. You know, before they made those big jumbotrons, right? If you got a ticket in the bleachers far away, you really didn't see much. But you're happy. Everybody there was happy. They won the game and they're cheering. And so you're happy, you know, but you don't really see very much. But at least you got into the game. If you do mitzvahs, you'll get into Olam Haba. But you know what? If you don't have the love and fear, the Hasidim say you're like a bench sitting in Olam Haba. But if you want the mitzvah to have wings, then you've got to have this machshavas. And you have these machshavas, you've elevated it to a tremendous 3-for-1 status. So therefore, the next mitzvah we do, we should remember, take a brief moment before you give, how many mitzvahs we do, before you give tzedakah, before you pay your workers, before you're getting ready for Shabbos, all these things. Think of these 5 things before you're doing the mitzvah. In other words, you're thinking, I'm doing the will of Hashem, I'm trying to make Hashem happy, I have great fear for Hashem, etc., etc. And then, you know, you've got the 3-for-1 benefits that accrue to that mitzvah. And that blue-collar mitzvah has turned into a white-collar mitzvah, and it's not such a small thing. And that will give you that chizuk of that cheshbon that you want to make.